Morning.
Morning.
Appreciated what Emmanuel shared there on the shortness of life, and we don't know how much longer we have, and thought of are we ready, and how important that is. Begin with prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come here together this morning and you can come to hear your word and we can listen. And I pray that as we hear your word, that our hearts would be open and we'd be ready to learn and to grow. And pray that the words that are spoken this morning would be words from you and that we would put them to practice. And just pray this in Jesus' name. So this morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about the direction of our lives and what is the way that we live, how do we live. And I think of a story that I heard. There was two people that left a conference in Bangor, and they got on the interstate. They wanted to go toward Augusta. I'm not sure exactly where. But due to distraction, they were talking and they got on I-95 North and kept on talking. And soon they saw a sign that said Millinocket Medway. And they realized that they had gone the wrong direction. And that cost them a couple hours of driving and some extra money on the gas and probably a later night that night. So the way we go in life is really important, the direction, and think of getting to the end of life. And if we went the wrong way, it's not just getting off the exit, turning around and coming back. It's standing before the judgment seat, and it's the difference between eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. So God makes a way. I'd like to have 3 points here. God makes a way. And then the question, what way will we walk in? And then finally, repent and turn. So, starting in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 38 and 39, says, this is Jeremiah speaking the word of God. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me for the good, forever for the good of them and of their children after them. So God is claiming a people, people whose God is the Lord. That was his heart from the beginning, and that's his heart today. God wants a people that have one heart, heart of service and worship. And he gives us one way to him. In John 14, verses 4 through 7, this is an interaction between Jesus and his disciples. Maybe I'll start in verse 6 there. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Sorry, let me start in verse 4 there. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6 there. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see the way is Jesus. There's one way. What did God want when he sent Jesus? He wants a people and he wants a relationship with the people. In Jeremiah chapter 32 again, verse 40, said, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me." So it promises an everlasting covenant where God will not turn away from us, and he wants a relationship where we don't turn away from him. So we can count on God not turning away from us. He wants to put his fear in our hearts that we will follow him. And point two is, what way will we walk in? In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." So this is written to a people. They were living their lives and they were living complacent lives. They weren't really paying attention to what they did or how they did it. There were the people living in corruption. But they were, the message to them was to stand in the way. That meant stopping. They were told to see what God wanted them to do, not blindly continue forwards in a wrong direction. They were told to ask for the old paths, the paths that were the good way. These were people that couldn't just do what their fathers had done. I believe there was generations of corruption. But they could look at examples of Abraham and Moses, the stories that they had heard. Reading that, I'd like to read that verse in the NIV version. It says, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in it." So they deliberately made a choice not to. So we can ask the question, are we walking in the good way? Are we following God? We need to be exhorting one another, asking, is this the good way? Because if we're on our own, we can pretty quickly be deceived and maybe even think we are going a good direction. But if we have other people, we can stay on the narrow way following Jesus. Do we plead with God for direction in life? And then do we walk in it? If we do, there's promise of rest in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." But this people said, we will not walk in a good way. So it was a intentional choice, and then they had to live with the consequences of that choice. Think about choosing direction. I think about a group of boys I played with 10 years ago, direction different ones chose, and I have to wonder what direction still others will choose. That brings me to the question, what direction will I choose? And then the consequences come with the choices. So, and then in point three is repent and turn. Are we willing to do that? 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13 and 14. God was speaking to Solomon in a dream that says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command a locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So God has a people. We are a called people. And the question is, will we humble ourselves? Will we pray? It's repentance. It's when we turn from our ways, from our wicked ways, and seek God. When we have a repent heart, God promises to forgive, he promises to hear, he promises to forgive, and he promises to heal. Forgiveness comes through Christ's death. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that love that he has for us is so great. And in Ezekiel 33, verse 10 and 11, says, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? So Ezekiel was given a message. It wasn't really a fun message to carry, but it was a message of to remind the people of their sins. He was to warn them not to continue in the transgression. Yes, how are we going to live in the sin? Ezekiel was pleading with the people to repent and turn before death. It promises with turning from evil, there is life. And it asks the question, why? Why will we die? Why will, yes, them, why will you die? And I want to ask the question, why would we choose death? Why would we choose sin? In James 1, verse 14 and 15, it talks about when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. So choosing sin, choosing the flesh, is choosing death. It just, we don't always look down the road far enough to see that. But it's better to choose life. In John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. Says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus came so that way we can have that life. Thinking about again what happened to those people driving. Due to distraction, they ended up going the wrong direction. And that can happen to us in life too. If we aren't paying attention, we can go in the wrong direction. When we get to the end of life, we can't just turn around and drive a couple hours and be back where we wanted to be. In Lamentations 3, verses 40 and 41, it says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. So that's what I had to share, and just an encouragement to pay attention to the direction we go in life, and that way at the end of life we won't have regrets.